It's 88.5 KCSN. I'm Sky Daniels, and we're joined by Incan Abraham. Welcome to the station, guys.
Thanks so much.
Thanks.
How's it going,
Sky?
It's great. It's great to have you in here. Kevin Bronson, of course, of Buzz Bands LA, who does our local music show here, has been a supporter. And Kevin supports a lot of local bands. But periodically, he raises his hand with vigor and comes to us and talks about bands that he really, quote, feels it would be great on the station. And yours was one. So I want to give kudos to Kevin for passing along his support for you and helping us to discover your music.
Thank you, Kevin.
Yep. Kevin, see that?
Thanks, Kev.
Said thanks.
You're the man.
Out loud. The band has its genesis, I guess, in Red Tide, which was that a New York-based band originally, or was that an L.A. band that went to New York? Give me the history of this whole process.
I guess Red Tide was definitely a New York-founded band, but we've all known each other from L.A., from growing up in Los Angeles. So we had kind of met up there just sort of on a whim to write songs and record some songs together. And, yeah, the band was called Red Tide at that time. So that was a very important beginning for us.
Was the point of going to New York just to change atmosphere? Was that a conscious thing to go to New York, or did it just happen to come together in New York?
I think it was kind of to isolate ourselves too, because we actually did it in upstate in the Hudson Valley, and I think it was just to, you know, get away and to not feel the pressure of, you know, the scenes in Los Angeles and New York, and have this kind of idea of us forming a new band, have it, you know, kind of come about organically.
That's an interesting point, because you mentioned not one, but two. Easily could be described as competitive scenes, to say the least. When you went to form the band, how do you really extract yourself from that sense of, well, we know in New York there's this avenue we might take, and in L.A. we could go this route. How did you get it to be, let's just make the best music we can make, and we'll figure out the next step next?
We were just pretty idealistic and young, and we thought, you know, we just want to be in a neutral setting where we don't have distractions, and two of us had been at school on the East Coast, and the other two were on the West Coast, and, you know, I think we actually didn't have that much awareness of what it was like to be in a music scene yet, and it was just kind of a very pure experiment that just kind of was able to grow in isolation.
The two that had never been on the East Coast, what time of year was it when you called this first gathering?
Well, I'd been there as a child with my family, but, you know, never, and I had actually lived there in college for a brief moment, but yes, it was the summer, and it was extremely pleasant.
Yeah. Basically, I'm saying, did you get to avoid winter?
Yes, yes.
I do that at all costs.
It's a summer we all remember very fondly, and not just for the music and stuff, but, you know, for the vibe. It was just incredible.
It was idyllic.
Yeah.
Yeah. have you seen in your recurring trips, you know, through the country, that you're starting to see some fans that you can count on and that that fan base is coming together?
Well, we recently just did our first nationwide tour this February into March, and I'd say that was definitely the case. I mean, we're still, you know, young enough and relatively new enough that, you know, when we show up at a venue, and even if there are just a couple people who really like the band and, you know, who found out about us organically and came to the show, you know, that's still kind of exciting to us.
And it should matter, and hopefully you take stock in those fans, because those fans you'll see 5, 10, 20 more times, hopefully, and you really start to know that they care.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and this was, you know, this was our first time out, so I think, you know, once the record comes out and we get to revisit some of these places that we really enjoyed, I think we'll have a better sense of, you know, the kind of traction we've built, at least with this record.
Now, how much can one anticipate their first national tour and what they think they're going to expect of it, and how much of those expectations hold up? And was it better, worse, the same as you possibly imagined?
I think it was pretty much what we thought we were going to get, you know, both from an audience standpoint and also from, you know, our performance. I thought, you know, a lot of it was, you know, geared to, you know, just kind of gelling as a live act in a way that we never have, and especially with the new material off the record, which you kind of have to, like, learn how to play live again, because when you're doing it in the studio, it's for a very specific purpose, and you're playing it a certain way, and then sometimes you find that the songs translate differently in a live setting and you need to reapproach them. I think it was a success in that way. And, you know, I thought we had some great shows. I thought we did, you know, we did what we needed to do. And it was kind of exactly what I expected, at least.
Turn, girl, if we're Now, Tolerance, the record itself, give me your sense of what you wanted to achieve and how, you know, the band got to the point where the record we hear now is the record that we hear, and went into the making of it, and how long it took, and was it a quick process? Was it arduous?
Well, I think to that point, we had only done EPs, and there was kind of multiple reasons for that. One was that, you know, paying for a record yourself is costly, and also I think, as Ted has pointed out numerous times in interviews and stuff, we really got excited about, you know, putting out whatever 4 or 5 songs we had at a time, and kind of enjoyed the bite-sized portions kind of idea. But I think on this one, you know, we just wanted to kind of make as cohesive of a record as we possibly could. We didn't want to just slap 10 songs on there, 10 singles, and call it a record. I think we wanted to make something cohesive but also accessible. And I think, you know, I hope we succeed. I hope everybody likes it.
There have been many bands, young bands, that come in here and say they find that there's such an accelerated pace of adoption by a lot of, you know, listeners. And if we want to get, you know, really specific consumers, mm-hmm. that they need to feed their developing fan base more periodically. And that EPs have become a great way to just keep them engaged, to give them that milestone of where you're at now. Here's another batch of songs. And some, both, you know, established artists and new artists, are starting to at least waver on the side of the album as a necessary, you know, compilation. Where are you guys at when it comes to a record and an album?
It was actually, you had said something before the interview that obviously the, you know, there was a certain point that the major labels became all about the single, you know, and I think I agree kind of along the lines of what you were saying, that consumers as well have come to expect new singles from, you know, from their favorite artists more regularly. And particularly with Jules, I remember we've kind of gone back and forth and kind of argued about this point. And I think that that's definitely the culture now. But in some ways, I think that we have a purist streak, and we grew up on listening to full albums. And, like, you know, for better or worse, at a certain point, it can't just be about the business. It needs to be about the vision of what you want to make. The way a novel is a novel, an album is an album, and, you know, that's just what you got to do, I think.
I think we also tried to harken back to a time when pop music wasn't such a swear word.
Right.
You know, we kept going back to the Peter Gabriel So record.
Perfect.
As kind of a touchstone of, you know, where pop was still adventurous and you could still take it kind of to the farthest ends of the world without without sacrificing a whole lot from a quality standpoint, and you could kind of be as adventurous as you wanted to be and still sell a lot of records and still reach a lot of people.
Well, we want to make sure that our listeners become, you know, not only aware of, but perhaps one day fully absorbed, tolerance, the new effort, and are ready for your new music. But today we're going to have some songs that give them some. It'll be whetting their appetite. Some it will be reaffirming their belief in you, and others it will be a totally new experience in which we're glad to support, and that's why we're glad you came by today, and we want to thank you. Incan Abraham has come by to do this live session with us at KCSN. Thanks for coming, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Appreciate it.